everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew from high school complained that I was doing Facebook wrong by posting stuff that was a correction to stuff that they were posting because they were posting stuff that they wanted to because that's how you do Facebook. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I am known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me on Facebook, G+, Twitter, Skype, all over the place under that name. I was born into a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and am an unabashed atheist. As you can see, on the roundtable, we have a number of people again this week, so please bear with me as I make sure that everybody gets a fair shake. We're expecting a couple of other people to show up mid-show, so, again, don't worry, we may still have the folks over here. Starting from north of the border into Canada, Heretic Woman.
Hi, good evening, Heretic Woman. I'm from Ontario, Canada. I started out in the United Church of Canada, which is pretty liberal, and then I did something silly and joined a Calvinist sect. That was not one of my better choices. I have now been an atheist for 25 years, and much better on the other side. Thank you.
From south of me into Delaware, Unrenowned Tech. Who is not muted and should...
Yeah, he is still.
Yes. The mute is not coming off.
Delaware. What are you talking about? I'm in Maryland, dude.
You're muted, and I'm having fun at your expense.
What else? I go by the handle of Unrenowned Tech. If you've seen the show, well, it's the same old, same old. I live in Southern Maryland. I grew up in upstate New York. I lived in and grew up in a multi-religious home, one side Jewish, the other side Catholic. Had a little taste of both, and lived for a time even in Virginia, became a born-again for a while, and then I came to my senses. And about, how long has it been, Sujin? 6 years? 7 years? Something like that. And I realized I didn't believe any of that crap.
Moving to the west of me, across the Great Lakes, Joseph.
Wait, west? I'm not across the Great Lakes. I'm directly south of you.
You're originally from Chicago.
Well, true. Good evening, folks. Name's Joseph. Born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, to an Irish Catholic family. Bite me. Spent 8 years in the... United States Armed Forces, currently living in Pittsburgh as an atheist and a graphic designer.
Moving across the pond over to England and Chris.
Oh, hi, I'm Chris. I'm based in the UK. I was raised sort of nominally Catholic, but have been an atheist since probably my early teens. I've only recently sort of redeveloped an interest in religion from the atheist side.
Okay, moving south through the channel, over to France, and Joe? Joseph.
Hi, name's Joseph. I'm originally from London, Ontario, and I've been living here in Paris, France since quite a few years, and I've been atheist from around 18.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned, we do have a couple of guests on. Only two out of the three are actually on camera at the moment. That's okay. Taking us south over into Pennsylvania, well, in this case, southeast, over by Philly, is Bill from Barroom Atheist.
Greetings. I'm half of the Barroom Atheist team. My wife, Susie, could not make it, unfortunately. But I'll tell you my story. I was raised Roman Catholic until Mom got divorced. Then we became Methodist, went non-denominational for a little while. Mom got divorced again. Then we went back to Catholic. And I just said, this is all garbage.
And you brought us in under the two-hour mark. Thank you. And taking us south from there to Savannah, Georgia, from No Religion Required, Bobby and Miss Ashley.
Hey, y'all. My name is Bobby Seifen, a No Religion Required podcast. I'm a former Southern Baptist.
And it, unfortunately, it took me 40 years to realize that donkeys couldn't talk. And I am now indeed an out atheist living down here in the Bible Belt of Georgia. My co-host is here, Miss Ashley.
Hi, y'all. I am Miss Ashley. I was raised Southern Baptist, who had never read the Bible before, and I'm doing so now and finding out that a lot of the stuff I was told was a whole bunch of,
Which is exactly the whole reason for doing tonight's show.
Your restraint.
Leave it up to Miss Ashley.
Exactly. Now, of course, for those of you that are watching live right now, thank you very kindly. If you'd like to go ahead and chime in and utilize the question and answer system on the sidebar, please, by all means, feel free. More than happy to go ahead and tackle any of the questions that you want to pose to us. However, before we get started, of course, with apologies to Noah and Heath, 5 minutes on the clock for the freestyle. As usual, I think about what I'm going to talk about during the show. And as we've seen on too many occasions, I start out the week figuring out what I'm going to talk about. And by, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe, I've kind of got a pretty good idea as to where I want to go. And then suddenly the great God Murphy suddenly rears up his ugly head and says, guess what? Well, this week, I pretty well knew what it was I was going to end up talking about. And I have no qualms with going ahead and completely blowing our PG-13 rating right in the first 7 minutes of the show, because it's exactly on topic with the rest of everything else. Fuck your holy book. There, I said it. It's what everybody else has been saying all over the place. Fuck your holy book and everything that it stands for, and I'll tell you exactly why. Because every one of them has got something detrimental to say about the human condition, about society at large. And believe it or not, I can say that with pretty much good confidence, even though I haven't read all of them. As a matter of fact, I've only just barely scratched the surface on the Bible itself, and that's secondhand. So if you want to go ahead and say that your holy book is better than somebody else's, you know what? Screw you big time, and I'll tell you why. Because there are people who are out there dying because of a book. And guess what? Every time you Amish Wolverine fucktard yourself, every time you hold up and say, I've got a book, guess what? Bunch of other people got books, and you know what they're doing? They're using it to justify genocide. Really, that's what it comes down to. When has that ever been a good idea? Ever? Unless, of course, it's a matter that you simply want to have full and unfettered control of everything and everyone. But, of course, we wouldn't go ahead and intimate such a thing. I mean, that would be wrong. I mean, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings now, do we? Oh, right. We do. Because it's the right thing to do. A couple of weeks ago, I went ahead and I brought out a really, really great idea about Genesis, where I actually postulated that when Eve was given full knowledge of good and evil with the biting of the apple, her first fully sentient conscious thought was it was a better good to share the knowledge with Adam than it was to follow the dictates of the tyrant overhead. Think about that a second. The absolute right to dissent is ingrained in the human condition. It's written out as a bad thing in the Bible of all goddamn things. And yes, goddamned. And I'll tell you why, too. Because what is more important? Sharing the knowledge of what's right and what's wrong so that you can make better decisions? Or is it just following what you've been told to do? You take your book and you follow what that book says. Let's do it this way. Let's start you off with 100 people all together. And everybody's got a book. Some people have got more important books than others, or so they think. And so they follow what the book says. Some are a little bit more, you know, that doesn't sound quite right. Maybe I shouldn't really do that. Others are just, screw this book. And some are going to take it as literal as possible. Some are going to think it's an instruction manual. And then what happens? Exactly what we've seen over in Europe, what we've seen in New York City, what we've seen in the air, what we've seen all over the goddamned world. Nothing says wrong more than hurting someone else. Nothing says right more than helping other people. That's the entire purpose of this show. Because it is goddamn time somebody actually says, guess what? You're wrong. You were taught wrong. And there's nothing wrong with that statement at all. You were taught wrong. When we're kids, we're told what to think. If we're lucky, we're told how to think. And then, when you get older, you have to take what you've been using. Sometimes it's not exactly right. But it's your responsibility, when you grow up, to finally look it all over with as clean a slate as possible, with as much responsibility as possible, and to make a more informed choice. We have the duty, the responsibility. We have the demand for society to say, no, you're wrong. And there is nothing that is going to stop us from saying that over and over and over again. Because it's the right thing to do.
Right here.
This is episode number 48. Do I get that right? 48? 49. Sorry, 49. We are fast approaching 1 year's worth of shows, although we are actually already past officially 1 year of doing the show. We've had a couple of weeks off because of certain things, and that's just going to have happened. So thank you for sticking with us. Those of you that have been, you know, with us for a long time, we are very, very much looking forward to, you know, fulfilling that first year's worth of shows. And I have to tell you, even though we've been doing it a far shorter time, it's nice to know that Skeptics with a K, we're actually beating them with a total number of shows. No, Incredulous. That's who I'm thinking of. Incredulous. We're beating them. So that's good. I feel very proud about that. So that's good. So we've got a lot of stuff that's popped up in the Q&A at the moment because of the way that my system is set up. I can't see the Q&A just yet. I have to actually turn my attention elsewhere. So I'm going to turn over things to our guests first to give them first crack and get to the rest of the crew as we get along. So I want to start off with Miss Ashley, because I need to hear this one. Can I set up a burnt offering for you outside the backyard for you?
Well, there's a church back there. I don't know how well that'll go over.
That's perfectly fine.
I mean, literally, right? You open up my back door, it's right there.
Yep, that's fair enough. I know that we could do that and waft everything around. Bill, what do you think? You think Susie would like a burnt offering in the backyard?
It's kind of funny you say that, man.
No, it's not. It's exactly what I intended to do.
We're in Proverbs on our podcast, so we've been, over the last 2 years, working our way through. And every time a burnt offering is mentioned, she just goes, I hate burnt offering. And for people who've never read the Bible, they mention them, they mention how to do them, they mention when they're required over and over and over again.
Yep.
You know, think if you were God writing a book of instructions, you wouldn't have a problem with space, you know? You wouldn't want to repeat stuff because there might be important stuff to tell people, but he tells you how to burn your meat. I said burn.
Yes, he did.
Over and over and over again. So, yeah, Susie hates burnt offerings. If anybody listens to our podcast and you hear one of the last, I think we're on 45.
Any of them.
You will hear her say how much she hates burnt offerings and David's dick. Those are the two things.
Yep. Bobby, you guys are going through it too. I mean, what so far has been the most egregious piece that you guys have agreed on? I mean, obviously for Susie, it's burnt offerings and David, right? Yes, David's a dick.
I think, well, we're only starting the book of Exodus, and Ashley has never read the Bible before. So she just completed the complete 50 verses, 50 chapters of Genesis.
That really should only be about 20 because of all the filler.
Right. She thinks the Bible is filled with filler and that Moses was paid by the word. And and I think the thing that got Ashley the most about the book of Genesis is she harps on the fruit from the tree of the tree of knowledge. She says that if Adam had not been out.
I'm getting worried now. I think we may have lost. Oh no, it's network lag. Oh,
there we go.
Sorry there, Bob. You chopped out there.
You froze.
I froze.
You did.
Oh, yeah. We don't. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Well, we don't.
Kind of went like this.
Yeah, but did I look sexy?
I was aroused.
I was very aroused, Bobby.
No, Ashley's main thing is she can't get over the creation story, and she can't seem to get over Eve eating the fruit, and she says...
And being blamed for it.
So I've tried to explain to her that if it wasn't for the women, we'd live in a perfect world.
What?
Now, speaking as the only other woman on the show at the moment, Heretic Woman...
Yes.
When I first put that out about Eve a couple of weeks ago, I put it out over to you specifically first. Now, we've talked on several occasions about different things, and that one in particular. So, since we're talking about, you know, the Bible and such, how much had you learned through the different annals? I'm assuming probably about as much as we Roman Catholics did originally.
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't read the whole thing until later on, because any church that I had belonged to, they did the whole spood feeding thing, so we're going to read this today, we're going to read that today, and then we're going to tell you what it means and all that garbage. So, but I remember being at a Bible study as a teenager, and this was with the Calvinist group, where there, I don't even remember what specific verse it was, but it was the old, the wife must obey her husband verse. And I just kind of went, huh? Well, yeah, that's the way, the order of life. I'm like, I don't think I like that. And they just kind of said, well, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. And I'm like, I got to rethink this stuff here. This is, no, I don't think I like that. But then as it turned out, I stayed for like 2 more years.
Forgive you a little bit on that. Joseph, I'm sorry, Joey. God, one of these days I'll get used to this. Okay, as Roman Catholics, as you and I were, there, I don't know if it had ever come up before. Had you gone through any kind of catechism, Sunday school, do any kind of Bible reading at the time?
Hey.
Other than Mass, of course.
You're aware that my first 3 years of school were held at a lovely little place known as St. Mary's Nativity in southern Chicago.
I know, but I gotta move the narrative along, you know.
So yes, I've had my fair share of mandatory Bible reading.
Yes, but now the question I've been really wondering on this one is, was it much more the way that you kind of study history class, where you memorize the dates and the places and whatnot, but you don't really get what the story really is?
Pretty much.
That's kind of what I was looking towards. Kind of figured as much. Unrenowned Tech, I'll get you at this point. You've also got the multi-past also at this point. For you, through your coming up and whatnot, how much book learning did you get on it all?
In the beginning, not of the Bible, but of the introduction to religion, what I got from my parents was basically some general of the two sides, the minor differences in the major differences, which came about at an early age when you ask, why do we celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas, you know, things like that. And then you learn little bits here and there, you know. I definitely received some of the cultural aspects of the two, more so than written work. And when our parents tried us taking us to the religious buildings, well, that didn't go over too well with us, so we ended up not having to go. The only time I really, really, when I really first started reading, that didn't actually happen until high school. And I joined a youth group called Young Life. I don't know if any of you here are familiar with it. It's a Christian youth group. They do after-school activities together. They have a tendency to pray around the flagpole at lunch, which the school doesn't promote, but they don't forbid, you know. And after-school activities are fair game for any group. You know, there's a bulletin board, you know, you can put up what it is as long as it's school and no problems. But the first thing I read was a book given out by Young Life, which touched on passages of the New Testament. It didn't touch anything to do with the Old Testament. And I remember reading the book and being, you know, really worried about certain things. And I actually came home one day and I made the mistake, or actually you could say it was probably one of the best things I ever tried to do in my life. And I tried to convert my mom. And my mom is a very smart lady. She's very well grounded. She is also very articulate when it comes to debating. And she put me in my place. And a couple days later, my mom and my dad sat me down and they gave me a copy of the Bible, the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, all together. And so I started reading. I fell asleep through Genesis, especially with all the names. That part was the part where I actually fell asleep, was trying to memorize all the names. And the more I read, the more things started getting conflicting for me. So I have to say that is exactly when I really started down the path towards becoming an atheist. That's sunk in little by little by little over many, many years. And I will point out if you guys hear about it, you know, if anybody has kids and they go to school and they're in a Young Life group and they're reading books given out to them by Young Life, which they give out for free, they're not the New Testament. They just take what they want from the New Testament and then they tell you how great everything is, you know, using these statements. They cherry pick. And you know, when you have the whole book in front of you, it's a game changer.
I can hear that, absolutely. And that's probably one of the most insidious pieces. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. Joseph, you started off, like you said, over here in Ontario and then moved over to France. How much, I mean, now we've talked on a couple of occasions. Where you are now, it is far more secular than over here on this side of the pond. How much learning on religion, on whichever book you might have come across earlier on, did you have?
Well, when I was growing up, most of my extracurricular activities were Bible-oriented or religion-oriented, and I was being, without my knowledge actually, groomed for seminary. Before I kind of figured out what was going on. And I was saved by education, actually, by an architecture grant, actually. I forget what you call that in English.
I guess it really depends as to what it was, but you know what? It doesn't matter what we call it.
Scholarship, yeah.
Yeah, I've been living here too long. So, yeah, but until then, I didn't really understand what was going on, but I was going through the motions because that's what everybody thought it was right to do. So, but it's only when I got out of it, I really realized what was going on. It kind of broke my bubble, so to speak.
It's easy enough. And Chris, since for you in England, the state has its own church, as the Church of England itself, which is pretty much a background radiation kind of level at this point from what you've said. How had things been for you growing up and learning and such?
Yeah, there was, I think, I'm not sure if it's still in effect, but there were sort of acts of worship in school, sort of in like morning assemblies, special occasions, etc. But they were normally sort of fairly brief, and there wasn't sort of huge amounts of proselytizing. And, you know, here and there we heard all the classic Bible stories that kids and young people hear. And it's only now, as I'm slowly plowing my way through the Bible, I realize that there's a lot of those stories where they've picked the bits that are PG rated and left out huge chunks of the stories, which give them an entirely different perspective when you read the whole thing.
Yep, which was exactly where I was going to go to next, because this is where it gets to be fun. If you've got little ones' ears, you might want to preview this next section for the next few minutes before you turn it over to them, because I want to go ahead and get a show of hands of everybody. How many people knew before they started reading the Bible that there was mentions of donkey and horse dick? How many of us knew? Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. I never knew about it, and, you know, we Catholics, you know, we've got the one true book, just like everybody friggin' else's, which, by the way, I forgot to mention in the five-minute freestyle, by the way, that amongst all of the other Bibles that I've had some reading on, the loose canon of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, yes, heaven does have beer volcanoes and strippers and midgets and such, but never, ever once, to my best of my knowledge, does it say that you have an unlimited supply of dollar bills. So
this maybe they're free.
It yeah. When the hell is that ever? Well, no. Yeah, you got
heaven.
Good point.
It's heaven.
It's a good point. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Maybe they take beer from the volcano.
Maybe they're exactly the same, but in hell you have no dollars.
Right. You can see it, but you can't buy it. Got it.
Yep.
Well, that would truly suck right there. You know what, Ms. Ashley, we didn't hear from you. You didn't know about the equine reproductive pieces at all, did you?
No, I sure didn't.
And then you found out. and we could hear you blush all the way on this side of the podcast.
I have to chime in now. Miss Ashley read that on our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually saved that little piece, and I just play it to myself over and over again.
I have the original. I turned the original into a sound clip.
I want it as a ringtone. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, you are my hero.
Sexy version? Bill, you want the sexy version at the beginning of the show?
Or
the
one
said during Bible study?
The sexy version.
The sexy version. I've got the WTF version.
I know. I love Deb's version. That's just going to have to so be played.
I watched that clip of my show the other day with some people. It's like, you guys, you got to see this.
The new thing is listening to Miss Ashley read the Bible.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? And that's something that I wanted to make sure that we specifically hit on. A lot of times we, and I'm using the royal we for a second, no offense, Chris, the royal we in this case, meaning that we collectively as a society, never mind as any particular whatever we might have grown up as, we collectively really have not read the Bible until we started questioning. And there has been the statement, I'm sorry?
I said I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, and it's not at all unusual from what I've seen. I mean, growing up, you know, growing in New York City, effectively, I mean, the outskirts, but still, you know, New York City, you know full well, is a huge bastion with all of the immigrants who had come through and brought whatever the hell it was. And, you know, the Catholics and the Protestants, so many of the Christian denominations came through and stayed. You got Little Italy. You got all of the guys who, you know, stuck it out over there. So New York City, to me, is far, far and away more a Christian conglomerate than anything else. You know, the Jewish areas be damned for a second. And really, you guys want to rope off your entire street with rope to cheat God into thinking that maybe your outside is the same as the inside of your house? Nice going there, guys.
Public so, park, even.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. So here's the piece that I want to find out. And I'm going to throw it open to whoever wants to go ahead and hit it first. Who would you recommend people now listen to find out more about what's going on with the Bible? And I will also preface that with shameless self-promotion is completely acceptable at this point.
No religion required.
Yeah, go Miss Ashley.
That shameless self, whatever it was he just said.
Promotion.
Yeah, he said it was prostitution for us. But I would recommend anybody listening to Miss Ashley. She's reading the Bible for the very first time, and she's reading it in a way that she doesn't read ahead. So you get the true response to her reading the Bible and her true reaction. The normal reaction is WTF and what the hell?
And
yeah.
And did he just say that?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
But I also have to say that you'd have to listen to Bill Robbins from the Barroom Atheist, too, because he makes it very comical to listen to. And he puts it in a way that, now, granted, I am reading it, but he puts it in a way that makes you go, really? Are you kidding me?
What the?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, if you want to hear somebody do it drunk, that, you know, two of the three words are bar room. So, yeah.
You know, Bill, you should do a drinking game like David Michael does.
No, he did that already.
Oh, yeah. He did.
Anybody wants to hear my drinking game, go to episode 24.
Okay.
Which was published 2 weeks too late after it was recorded because I wasn't well enough to really listen. Because you ever have a hangover and you can't eat anything that you ate before that night, or you can't smell the alcohol you drink? I couldn't listen to it. I was that. I woke up the next morning on the bathroom floor.
Ooh.
But it made for great audio, Bill.
You heard the edited version.
Yeah, and I loved it, brother.
Hey, it was Bill who told me, who broke my heart and told me that Sodom and Gomorrah weren't married.
No.
That
Which
is true.
Which one did you think was the girl?
Gomorrah.
Gomorrah?
Gomorrah sounds...
You've seen the turns.
Well...
You know,
and I actually thought Sodom is where we got the word sodomy from.
Yes.
Oh, it is.
It is.
Okay, it good. Is. Oof.
You were good on that
one. Right. Excellent. Yeah.
There you go. You got 1 out of 5. Good job there, kid.
Funny on the word on the topic of sodomy.
Yes.
Now that we're talking about that, yeah.
Segway.
Well, I had to educate someone because they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. My first stint was with this, based on the etymology of the word, was with when I found out about the UCMJ definition of it, which is the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Thank you.
We have our own, we have our own justice system. And their definition of sodomy is essentially anything that isn't the missionary position.
Wow.
Generally speaking, a lot of people seem to think that sodomy just means, well, you know, bend over and take the back door in. But it actually is more than that. It really encompasses any sexual act that is not expressly for the purpose of procreation.
Yeah, oral is definitely concluded in the UCMJ.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And Chris, you were going to say something?
I'd say it's these things, sodomy, basically it means anything that's not approved by the church.
That's a good way of putting it. And Joseph?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that aren't most missionaries supposed to be celibate? I never understood that.
Yeah, how did they get their own position anyway?
Yeah, it is kind of like a priest trying to give you sexual advice.
Yeah. Or marital advice.
Yeah.
You know, we need an atheist position. I don't know which one that would be, but we need one.
I prefer doggy stuff.
Those of us who are Catholic, yeah, we've all had that moment in the confessional where, you know, you're sitting there telling, and you're just wondering what that priest is doing on the other end. Yeah, that's it.
Glory hole. You do realize if they name a position after atheists, according to certain religious organizations, it'll never exist.
Well, then you could never, you know, cheat or anything.
And you can never be accused of it either.
It would never live in court.
I don't know. I figure the atheist position is whatever the hell position you felt like at that time.
No. The atheist position would be whichever one makes sense.
Okay.
That's like all of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
They all make sense to me.
Or an absence of all positions.
Well, it would be extremely situational. I mean, obviously there are some positions that just won't make any sense if you're in the back of a Chevy.
Kind of like natural selection. You adapt the position to the environment that you are in.
Oh, sure. Just adopt relative sexuality. You know, you have no absolutes in your sexuality. So
that's right.
You have no measuring stick.
It's that whole Kinsey sliding scale all over again. Suddenly it's a sliding scope all the way down to something else.
Funny you mentioned sliding.
What have I done? What have I done?
First of all, take Flipper's box to a whole new level.
Hold on. Joseph, go ahead.
Joseph.
I think he's muted.
Yeah.
No, he...
Are you speaking to me or other Joseph?
No, because you're Joey.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep it straight. Joseph, we have a network thing that's your... There you are, you're back.
There he is. I was going to say, he hasn't moved in a few seconds.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Yeah, everything froze up, yeah.
It's okay. So you were going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, we're on a vlog to say absolutely nothing. We're just here to look pretty. I don't know about you fools, but I'm doing great.
Yes.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a mocking manner.
That's right.
It is the truth. Okay, so obviously, as we've seen, nobody's read the damn book until they start trying to figure out, okay, what's the right way of doing this. Now we've heard of, well, I don't know if the rest of you guys have, somewhere along the way you might have heard the hell is this, Dilla Met, whatever the hell the guy's name is somewhere in Texas. I don't know what the hell it is.
Dilla,
he basically. No, I don't think that's what it was. He basically said that, you know,
saying about Amish Wolverine.
It's too far over. There has been the statement that the easiest way of making an atheist is to read the Bible.
Yep.
There is
be messed up.
Yeah. No. And
yes.
And he said that he wanted to find out more because he was going to go into seminary, which sounds dirtier than what it really is when you really get down to it. And he read, and he studied, and he did his homework. And the more he learned, the more he questioned. So the more he was curious, and the more he questioned, and the more he learned, and then suddenly... nothing else. Now, Bill, I'm getting you over here because this progression that's been happening. You started off, if I remember the story correctly, and please forgive me if I'm screwing around with it all. I've been jamming on so many podcasts. It's just been hellacious for me to try to keep it straight. As I remember correctly, you ended up going to ReasonCon, right?
Correct.
The Reason Rally. I'm sorry, the Reason Rally. And you...
I went to both, so...
Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Reason Rally first. And you ended up, as Susie has put it, you ended up kicking her puppy by subversively talking about the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started asking and then started going through with it. Now that you have had the opportunity of leading her through finding out about the stuff that she didn't know, what has that progression been like for you to witness?
Okay, first I have to correct you a little bit. I didn't lead her. My wife is a very independent woman and came to her own conclusions.
Yeah, but
I backed off and gave her space to do it. It was all I did. Then
But if I don't talk bad about her, she's not going to want to come back. She was going to want to come back so she can defend herself. Oh, so I'm going to say anything bad I can.
You would learn the term bulldog really fast, but
I can live with that.
Oh, but no, she basically said, "I don't know why I ever believed this. Why did I believe this?" And we started a podcast, and she said, "Hey, let's read the Bible because I've never read it." And we've been going through, and I told you earlier in the show what her, you know, big things have been so far.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, since we're talking about that book, on our last episode, 45, we covered the worst verses in the Bible, the most abhorrent verses in the Bible, bar none. We covered the one that says, "Trust in the Lord your God, lean not on your own understanding." Mm-hmm. That is the worst verse in the Bible. Dashing.
Yeah, it's basically saying that intelligence is stupid, follow faith.
It's the one that sets up every other verse.
Yep.
You can't, if you're thinking for yourself, you can't dash babies into rocks. You can't do it. If you're thinking for yourself, you can't go into a city and kill everyone and all their pets and all their animals and all their children. You can't even consider that if you're thinking for yourself.
Critical
and that
thought.
Is the worst verse, in my opinion. And I said it, and I stand by it. That's the worst verse in the Bible. That and the one that says, "Look neither left nor right, but keep your eyes straight ahead."
Mm-hmm.
So don't even consider anything else. And don't think for yourself.
Yeah, Bill, I think if he was still alive, Christopher Hitchens would probably agree with you, because one of his most famous quotes is that good people will do good things, bad people will do... I'm paraphrasing here. Good things will do good. Good people will do good things, and bad people will do bad things. But to get good people to do bad, that takes religion.
All right. When we meet, I have to buy you a beer now, because that's one of the greatest compliments anybody's ever given me. Wow, Christopher Hitchens.
Well, it's exceedingly true, and that's arguably part of the problem. Miss Ashley, yeah, for you, since you are learning through it and you are discovering as you're going along, what's it been like for you to really have that whole constant facial tick of what the hell? I mean, it after a while, Bobby, after a while, it's got to be looking at her and thinking, you know, if it were like 20 years earlier and the different sex, she could have been doing the whole Chief Inspector Clouseau thing and the twitch in the face for Chief Director Dreyfus, I think his name was, the facial tick of just, how can you still be alive?
Look, I have often said that we need a video camera in studio. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you could see the facial expressions that this young lady makes when she's reading the Bible, you don't need audio. You just turn the audio off and just watch. And it's funny stuff.
Do that.
I was fortunate enough to see it live. It was great.
Yeah. She will not
do that.
Allow.
Make it a donation bonus.
We've tried. We have asked people to send us emails saying that they wanted to see it. And Ashley would not allow me to put a video camera.
I'm not going to say I wasn't allowed. Well, in the beginning, I wasn't allowed.
I was going to say, did that change?
In the beginning, I wouldn't allow it. But since Heretic Woman decided to, like, you know, I don't know if I can say this, but pop my video, Terry.
I guess on the video we have from, never mind, don't count.
I don't think you broadcast that live, Bobby.
Is that the video where you're not wearing any pants?
There would definitely be a different YouTube channel.
Yes.
I've gotten a little bit more comfortable with it, so you never know. It might happen.
Oh,
she has been on my show every week since.
There you go. And if you want to feel good about it, think of it this way. We popped Noah, Lucinda, and Heath's video cherries all in one night. And trust me, nobody, it was in one episode, one night, and, you know, it was delicious, really, to hear the reaction afterwards on the next show. Joey, yes?
Well, aside from the brief appearances that I've made on the recordings that you've done for your coverage at the zoo during AC and all that, this is the first time I've ever been on video on the internet. I mean, this show, so.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. So Bobby, Ashley's got all this stuff going on. For you, watching the knowledge coming through for her, what has been your takeaway with it all? I mean, have there been times where you've just looked at her and gone, maybe this is just a little bit too much?
No, that has never occurred to me. Because to me, it was very important for her to read the Bible and know what was in it. It's real easy to be a young woman sitting in a church and only reading those verses that your pastor or your Sunday school teacher tells you to read. They always pick those feel-good verses, John 3:16, but they never really go into what is really in the Bible. And it was very important for me to have her read the truth of what is actually there, for her to see that there is two creation stories, for her to look at it through critical eyes, and be able to go, holy hell, is that really in there? And it gives her a pretty good tool as well when she's talking to other people to say, hey, here's what your Bible really says. And then have them say, that's not in there, only to find out that, guess what? Yes, it is. So I think her reading the Bible has really, really helped open her eyes to some of the dangers of religion. So I wouldn't change a thing.
I tell you what, ever since I started reading the Bible, it has changed how I'm raising my kids.
It has.
Do tell.
Well.
Yeah, you can't open that door.
Now. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hold on.
Before you go with this, because the hesitancy, because the way that you just said it, Bobby, I want you guys to know, if there is something you are even questionable thing for yourself, should you even say it, don't worry about it. There's always time to open more later. You can't undo something. There's no edit here because it's live. So if you're even thinking about it, don't even, you know, it can wait.
No, I'm comfortable with it.
Okay.
I was just trying to figure out the best way to explain. My 8-year-old is not really at the comprehension level right now as my 14-year-old is. You know, but the 14-year-old, I'm teaching him to, you know, question everything, you know, because he was into the church scene, and I was okay with him being in the church scene, but I wanted him to understand what was being taught to him on the church scene. You know, when somebody at church would tell him, well, now you need to read this verse in the Bible, I'd tell him, well, no, you need to go read this verse as well. You know, if you're going to do this church thing and you're going to be told, you know, certain Bible verses to read, I want you to read all of it. And he's like, but Mom, I can't. I mean, that's just boring to me. You know, and I can understand it as a 14-year-old. It's boring to him. But on the same hand, I want him to read the Bible. You know, my 8-year-old, yeah, I don't think he can comprehend it that much right now. I can do what the best I can with him for the moment. And as he gets older, then, you know, we'll address other issues. But for right now, my 14-year-old, I'm letting him read the Bible, and ever since I started pointing things out to him that's in the Bible, he has become more of a critical thinker. He has become more of a questionable person.
Yeah, and I don't think the Bible's anything that an 8-year-old needs to sit down to be reading anyway.
Oh, God, no.
I'd just like to add that the Bible, a lot of people forget that owning a Bible was a punishable crime until the 15th century. So it was a book reserved for the clergy, because most teaching at the time was oral.
And it was illegal to translate until the end of the 16th century.
I thought about that.
Yeah, sure. If I could just jump in on the fact you're saying that the Bible's quite boring to read. There's a lot of it in the writing style is when you look into the background. A lot of the repetition is meant because large sections of it were originally in verse, because it was an oral tradition that was being passed down, and that helped people remember it. And the other thing is, it's written in a variety of ancient languages, and so none of the culture or the meanings of that language translate properly or have been translated particularly well. On there, so you're missing out. It's really easy to miss huge swathes of meaning in there, and just go, "But this doesn't make any sense." Like, you know, when you see the 100th time, and so-and-so was born by a whale, and because of this, his mother called him Fred, or whatever the ancient Hebrew was. This makes no sense, but obviously the original Hebrew name would have meant something to the people at the time.
I was going to say, as a matter of fact, I'm going to kind of hit on pieces of that in a couple of moments. But sticking with the parenting thing for a second, Unrenowned Tech, hit you again for a couple of moments, because you've had the run-ins with your little guy back and forth with religious teachings back and forth and I don't want to say deprogramming, because that's the wrong connotation, but the additional learning, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Well, what was happening was my son is very inquisitive. He wants to know things. He wants to understand things. He wants to comprehend things. And there was a point in time where he was trying to understand some of the things about the world around him. In one of our past episodes, the key example I used was when he went to understand why lightning was so loud. And I had asked him, I said, "Well, did you ask your mom that?" And he said, "Yeah." She said it was God made it that way. And I said, "Well, would you like to hear my answer?" And I explained to him the scientific, the way how lightning works. And now I kept it simple. I kept it simple with, I do gesticulations with my hands, because I'm part Irish, part Italian. That's the joke. Sorry. And showed him some pictures of lightning in slow motion, so that he could get a better grasp of the functionality and the science behind it. And ever since, he's pretty much stopped asking his mom questions about stuff like that. And he tends to bring them to me now. I've also explained to him, though, that my position on the concept of God, and I explained to him that that's my thoughts, my opinions, and he should not take my opinions and use those as his own opinions. That instead, go to school, learn what they have to teach, get your education, and when you get older and you get out of high school and you're still interested in religion, use your knowledge, use what you've learned on how to ask questions, how to find the answers, how to validate those answers. And then you'll have, then you'll be able to really make and build your own opinions on it. But don't side with something just because I said it's so, or because it's something that I feel is right. if you're, and I'm going to tell, I also promised him, I told him and said, listen, if you ask me a question, I don't know the answer to it. I'm not going to align it. I'm going to tell him, I don't know. Or I'm going to tell him, you know, I think the answer, if I remember correctly, was this, you know, and we can go look it up. And we do look up things from time to time. And just like one of our panelists here was pointing out that, you know, that religion was passed down orally for a long time and it was translated and changed and everything else. I do want to bring attention to a podcast called Atheists on Air. They have a recording from a ReasonCon on one of their episodes, and it's a recording of a person by the name of Richard Carrier. And in that, I think it's like an hour and a half long, he talks about, you know, how the stories were and how they changed and how they were delivered and how they were manipulated and everything else. So, it's something I've bookmarked for him should he ever have that kind of a question. I've been saving things from different podcasts and from different websites and archiving things. That way, you know, if he ever comes to me rather than picking up the book for himself, I can still hand a book and I can say, by the way, I also have these other materials if you want to listen to them, if you want to look at them, but I'm not going to make you.
And as a matter of fact, that's good, because I, like I said, I'm going to be coming around to that in a second else. Did anybody else want to hit on the parenting aspect of it all, either from having been a kid being brought up or bringing up a kid through all of this? I didn't know who else might want to chime in before we move past this particular piece.
I'd yes, say Chris. There is a fantastic opportunity for developing critical thinking and sort of research and history skills when reading the Bible, because there is an immense amount of information from people like Richard Carrier, but also you know, innumerable articles on sort of Wikipedia, etc., breaking down where these but virtually every passage of the Bible, where it comes from, what other ancient texts it relates to. So whenever you run into something that doesn't make sense, or you think that there's some more meaning behind it, it's very, very easy to look it up and follow and look at the various theories on what it means.
True enough.
Where the documentation and the archaeology, etc., comes from to support the various ideas. And that in itself is probably more interesting to read than the actual text of the Bible.
Okay. And Joseph?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it. I think it's a good thing to get your kids to fact-check everything. I mean, just you tell your kid, don't take my word for it, look it up for yourself. And that should apply to everything, not just religion. So I think if they get into that habit, I think religion's going to go with the rest.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there is even a hashtag at this point. There is a very famous line from LeVar Burton, who was Geordi LaForge on Star Trek The Next Generation, mm-hmm. who was Kunta Kinte, but was also the host of a wonderful TV show on PBS, public broadcasting here in the United States, called Reading Rainbow. And the tagline that he always used was, but you don't just have to take my word for it. And that is a great, great line in and of itself from a critical thinking standpoint. Don't take my word. Go ahead and find out. Learn where it is. And I've said on many an occasion, you know, sometimes knowing where to find the answer, or even how to find the answer, is more important than remembering it yourself, because you can always misremember it. And you know, all you got to do is just, you know, go look for somebody who keeps this kind of information somewhere. Libraries are good things.
And to quote a famous cartoon, "Knowing is half the battle." G.I. Joe.
Yes, true to a certain extent. All right. By the way, I know that I've been getting a little bit of flack for it, but you know what? It's because I had completely skipped over a piece Thank you for joining us. If you're still watching, if you would like to chime in, please remember the question and answer system is right there. We've got a bunch of things over in there, and of course, thank you guys for chiming in. We did see Katie is over there, Beth, Ashley, thank you guys very much for chiming in and watching. The system says that we still have two viewers, which I don't think that that's necessarily accurate, but at the same time, yay, it's more than zero, which is good. if you'd like to drop a voicemail or send a text message, you can. I can't get a voicemail, but I can certainly get a text message if you'd like to send it over to. The phone number for us over here is 859-HCTV-554, which is 859-428-8554. There's a story behind parts of those numbers, but we'll talk about that another time. Here's the piece I wanted to get into now. Since we had mentioned about how these were audio, these were oral traditions, they were songs, they were whatever the hell they were, here's the thing that's about to have happen. I am about to name he who should not be named, knowing full well that sooner or later the freaking troll is going to go ahead and say something and chime in and want to have his voice on here too. No, it's not that some bitch. It's this one. Matthew Slick. Now, collectively, we all pretty much know Matt Slick. Miss Ashley, if you wanted to sum him up in one word, what word would you use? And please remember, R is perfectly acceptable at this point, and I'm picking you because I think you're going to have the most colorful word.
Dumbass.
Wow, that is so, like...
I got one.
You know what? I'm gonna go on to the idea that it's late, you've been drinking, and you're trying to come across as a very nice, sweet young lady. I think that's what you're going for right about now. Yeah, heretic woman, what did you think?
Slime bag.
I like that right there, because, and as a matter of fact, that's actually one of the better ones right now, because. If you are unaware of Matt Slick, first off, wow, I want your brain instead. But if yeah. You understand about Matt Slick, Matt Slick is slimy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using this because of the way that he likes to use apologetics. He is slimy, in meaning that he is slippery, intentionally so. He relatively recently had a, I want to use the word debate because technically, according to English, that's the right word. So on a technicality, we'll call it that. But one of the things that keeps coming up, apparently, and this happened even with Aaron Ra, as I recall, and I hope I pronounced it correctly.
It's Aaron Ra.
Aaron. Sorry, Aaron. Yeah. No disrespect intended. For Aaron and for Matt, what tends to keep coming up is, I have a piece of paper that says that I learned so much. I learned ancient Hebrew. I learned ancient Greek. I studied the, I hate using air quotes, but I'm going to have to do it, original documents. So here's the thing. It's a two-parter. And I'm going to throw it open for whoever wants to jab on it first. One, if he is so well-versed in these ancient languages and studied what's supposed to be original documentation, why hasn't he come out with his own personal translation that should be far easier for everybody to follow and understand, because nobody else is reading that version except you, you dumbass. Everybody's reading what we've got currently. And two, what should we do with people who insist on going as far back as possible through antiquity with a language, multiple languages, that are dead, and saying, this is what it meant. No, you can't go by what other people have translated. I know what's right. When really, if everything is mistranslated, then we're going off of wrong translations anyway, and why shouldn't we be taking the old stuff? And oh, right, because that's the whole thing with the Quran. I'm sorry, never mind. I'll go back.
See, people like Matt Slick make me laugh. I know when people listen to guys him, and listen to how they try to twist the words of people like Aaron Raw and Matt Dillahunty. I listened to the one where he debated with Matt Dillahunty, and every time he twisted something, I could imagine people cringing. I was laughing my ass off. Mm-hmm. And the reason why he makes me laugh is because every time he opens his mouth, every single time he opens his mouth, it makes me have a single thought go through my head. That thought is, he's just a prime example of how nobody can seem to agree on the same damn religion.
Yep.
That's a good
you ask atheists to define atheism, and they will all tell you that it means that they don't believe in God. Not the reasons. It just means that they don't believe in God. Doesn't mean that they don't believe that a God could exist. It means that they don't have any kind of faith in a God. Okay? It's not anti-theism. It's you know, the agnostic and Gnostic parts aside. When you ask a Christian what do they believe, you could put 10 Christians in a row and get different answers. He's just another prime example of them.
And currently you get 40,000 different answers to that one anyway. Chris, you had something you were going to hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it's debating people like Matt Slick is just turns into a nightmare for everyone I've seen because of the way he twists everything. His opponents spend so much time trying to keep the conversation on track and to stop him from redefining words mid-sentence that, you know, they barely have time to get their own argument across.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard it. I actually had a conversation with Matt Slick.
Yeah, you whooped his ass.
did he not run away?
He did, in fact, run away. But
of course he did.
He hung up.
Yeah, because he can't handle being nailed down, because if you call his bullshit just straight up, he will run away. And he looked for the first excuse. I think one of the other people on the line had mentioned Harry Potter at all.
That was our dear friend Dave.
Yeah, it was Dave. It was Dave Poto. He ran.
Fast.
But what you got to understand about Matt is he's a Calvinist and an ideologue, and he really believes the bullshit he's spewing. He really does, which is strange. But yeah, he honestly believes it. He really does.
Funny that you mentioned Dave, because New Year's Day, another show that I sometimes co-host on, the Forbidden Fruit Radio Show, we had Dave on that day to talk about apologetics, and a guy who's acquainted with Matt Slick came on the show. And Matt Slick was texting this guy, asking Dave questions through this guy, but he didn't have the balls to come on the show and actually ask Dave in person.
Well, let's faux insulted thing.
Yes.
When you don't compare my God to Harry Potter.
Yeah.
What? You're insulted.
No.
No.
You have the right to be insulted. You have the right to say that you disagree. But what you don't have the right to do, at least in this country, is say that your religion is absolutely – you don't have the right to be correct.
Yeah.
I think the thing that happened whenever he was on Atheists on Air with Bill and Dave is Bill and Dave did a beautiful thing. They took everything that he was saying and turned it around and used it against him, and he had no answer.
Yeah,
it got to the point to where they were using it against him, and he told Cash, he said, "If this is the way you're going to do it, I'll just hang up," because he knew he was had.
Yeah,
that's a bold response too. When you confront a bully, they're one who likes to intimidate, and you take the wind out of their sails. They deflate. They get the flight response, and they'll do last minute fighting, trying to gain ground. And when they find out that when they finally realize when a bully, any kind of bully, doesn't matter if they're a religious apologist or what, but any bully who realizes that they're slipping and they can't get their back out from underneath them, they turn tail and off they go.
And that's exactly that's basically what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the right word, bully, because with him, you have to remember he's playing to his own audience. He's doing his best to confuse, delay any sign of confusion from the opposition is going to score points with his audience. So what we're watching is a completely different thing.
Yeah, and the thing that absolutely kills me about him, too, is that he has this smug superiority complex second to only... Oh, my God.
Well, and then he'll accuse
Let's
you of...
Let's put it this way. Ken Ham doesn't have the same level of superiority complex Slick has. I have more respect for Ken Ham standing up for his belief in his religion than I do for Slick, because at least Ken Ham... When he was debating, he was making his points, he was articulating, granted it always came back to the Bible and the Bible being the ultimate truth, yada, yada, yada. But even Bill Nye was certain little concepts upside down, things like that. Ken Ham didn't act like he was taking it personally. Slick, like I said, just like a bully.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right, and that drives me absolutely insane. If you have a dissenting opinion, suddenly you're trying to stick a knife through somebody's heart. What in the hell is wrong with this picture?
How dare you question me?
And with Aaron, he kept harping on changing the definition of faith. And we had Aaron on Forbidden Fruit about 3 weeks ago or so, and we talked to him about it, and he's like, when he just would not get off this twisting of the definition of faith and trying to pigeonhole him into saying that he had faith, he's like, what was the point? I was done. And he laughed. And after that, Slick and his wingnut co-host just sat around, if that's the best atheism has to offer, he's a pretty crappy debater. And what a couple of smug assholes.
I was going to go with cocksuckers personally. But
okay, cocksucker, yep. Fucknuts,
At least, like I was saying about Ken Ham, when he defines something, he stuck with it. There were times where he would go more into more depth and detail, which is what you expect when you actually have a real debate. But Slick, when I was watching that one with Dillahunty and him, you could see Dillahunty getting frustrated every time Slick tried to redefine something and redefine it. And at one point, he was trying to point out, and then Slick started to attack him, saying, hey, listen, you keep interrupting me, you keep talking over me. And Matt's just sitting there going, he has this kind of face of like, are you on drugs?
Yeah.
That's how I can describe him.
I mean, that's a tactic. That's quite annoying there, a tactic. Oh, stop interrupting me when you're not interrupting them. They're interrupting you. But honesty is not what it's all about.
Stop punching yourself in the face with my fist.
Yeah,
Bobby had me sit down and watch that debate, and I think he had to remove my shoes out of the living room.
Well, no, wait a second. This is a good
Did piece. You really?
She lost her cool, bro.
No, I don't blame you. Well, no, wait a second. With the one with Matt Slick with Matt. Did you also listen to whatever any of the one where Matt was talking with the other who should not be named, Saiten?
Yeah. Oh yes,
that was no.
That's the very first debate.
That's the very first debate he sat me down with.
Yes, I threw her to the wolves. I set her down in front of Matt Dillahunty and Saiten Bruggenkate. Said, "Honey, you need to watch this." About 5 minutes in, she said, "Has this guy lost his fucking mind?" I'm sorry.
wait. I want to know what her response was when Sai was getting questions from the audience members. Oh, and yes. Eve's response was, "I don't talk about the Bible
with atheists. I don't do Bible study.
I think Ashley's response was, if I can remember right, was, why doesn't he do Bible study with atheists? You would think that's the very person that he would want to do Bible study with. Isn't the whole concept of winning souls to Jeebus? To discuss the Bible?
What he had said, I don't know if it was in that debate or another time, but he had said that if you're an atheist and you don't have the insight to understand it properly, so there's no point in having Bible study with you.
No, that's right.
You're suppressing it, right?
Yeah.
Because Sai doesn't think there are atheists.
Yeah, but
that's right. We all really know that God exists.
We're all just brains in jars.
Brains in jars. Yes,
your brain in the bag.
That means he is too.
You know, maybe I'm sick, but I love debating presuppositionalists like Sai. I just love those people. They are so funny, and so easy to twist into knots.
Yep.
I think a real challenge might be like a William Lane Craig, but like Matt Slick or Sai Tenbrunge, I just try to twist them into knots because they know they're ridiculous.
Yes.
Or they should. I don't think Sai does.
I have so much respect for guys like you, Bill, because I couldn't do that. I'd be laughing my ass off.
Yeah, but Bill did an awesome episode, and I don't know the episode number, but he did a fantastic episode on how to deal with people like Sai Ten and Matt Slick. And after listening to that episode, I'm like, damn, I'm ready to go. Because you laid it out beautifully for Susie, and the fact that you laid it out for her made perfectly good sense to me.
Well, I use Star Trek. That always helps.
I got to find that episode, man.
Yeah, please post the link.
Yeah. Because we on Forbidden Fruit, it's a call-in show, and we get Matt Slick wannabes calling in. In fact, last week we had one, and we tangled with this guy for like half an hour. And the first time I even went on that show, I ended up debating some Matt Slick wannabe for like an hour and a half.
Does he have just one question? Does he have his doctorate?
Who? Slick?
Slick. Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think he's got various theology credentials. Yeah.
I would have liked to call him Dr.
Good they are, because I'm not an expert in that area.
Do they make a doctorate of bullshitism?
Probably, yes.
They should.
Yeah, sure. Just going to jump in on what someone said about what Sai Tan and presuppositionalists think. And for me, the position's always been so far out there that I question whether anyone really believes this, that, in their heart of hearts. Because the whole presuppositional argument that we're just going to sort of assume that God exists and it's necessary for the universe and logic and everything else, isn't something that you would use outside of like a theological or philosophical debate. It's not something that you would use to convert people. And it just seems to be a tactic to avoid any discussion of evidence at all, which is why Sai shies away from discussing the Bible with anyone who doesn't agree with it.
But he knows it can be used against him.
Yeah. And also some of the creationist stuff, some of these ideas are so far out there that you have to question whether people actually believe these or if they just think it's a smart debating tactic.
Well, you have to ask them. You have to ask them how they know about there's a Bible.
Yeah.
How do you know a Bible?
Were they there when it was written?
No. How do you know it exists?
You weren't there.
The Bible. They will tell you they use the Bible to determine that their senses are reliable.
Yes.
So how do you know the Bible's there if your senses aren't reliable?
Dude, I've been to a Best Western. I've seen them.
Wait. I'm remembering something of this argument. If the Bible, if...
Oh, Jesus, don't even... No, I will
ban your
ass.
You know which one I'm thinking about.
I will ban your ass. Don't even...
Do it. You know you want.
This way, if the Bible is true, so is Game of Thrones.
And well, for that,
you're not allowed bringing that up. You look far too much like Martin.
Miss Ashley wants y'all to know that the Game of Thrones is indeed true.
Just like Twilight.
No.
I'm sorry. Vampires do not sparkle. They do not sparkle.
No, guys, whoa. I'll have you know that back in the day, vampires suck blood, not dick.
No. Real vampires
can do both at once.
No, real vampires know enough to go one, two, three.
One. Oh, God. No, I can't. You know what? I'm not going to do that right now because this is not that kind of show.
By the way, if you are watching this.
From Count Dracula cereal.
Yes.
By the way, those of you that are watching the show from 3025, first off, thank you for watching. And, of course, if you don't get that reference, you really need to go back. Really need to go back and watch more TV from the late 20th century. It's worth it. Trust me. Just skip over like all the stuff from ABC. except for Schoolhouse Rock. That was good. Everything else is just crap. Don't worry about it.
By the way,
if you're going to watch NBC, just remember, with Alf, spoiler, he dies.
Yeah, poor Alf.
Oh, thanks. I never saw the end of that.
It's okay. Most people didn't.
He didn't make it.
Sure he did. Nobody remembers Alf anymore.
It's on Netflix. I was going to watch.
It's okay.
By the way, you're showing just how old you are, sir.
You want to know how old I am? You know, and you know what? Actually, we'll make this the last piece of it all. Let me tell you how old I am. I'm 39.
How many times?
Shh.
I was waiting for the bullshit cough, but okay.
the running joke is that I'm 39 because I adore. The old-time radio great of all time, Jack Benny, who claimed to be 39 for the better part of 30 years. So I use that as my opening joke and my opening bid, and I eventually actually admit to being currently, as of the recording, 45. Now, I mention that because I was born in March of 69. A few short months later, even though I have no memory of it, I was alive to watch on a little black and white TV, man stepping onto a new celestial body.
Mm-hmm.
For my lifetime, I've had the opportunity of seeing, even if I don't remember it, the incredible, marvelous technological revolution that has brought us to the point where some poor schmuck like me can have this chance to talk to who only knows how many people and hopefully have something worth describing to the rest of everybody else out there and to posterity. And I'm not going to put this into any kind of disparaging remark. Bobby and Miss Ashley, 5 years ago, would you guys have thought that you would have had a podcast and talking to who only knows how many hundreds, if not thousands of people at a time?
Never would have imagined it.
5 years ago? Hell no. But we were talking tonight, and And I told Miss Ashley, I said, if you think about it, we are the generation that remembers living a life without the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We remember that. We remember living a life without cell phones. I remember those days. And we are the last generation that can say that.
Yep. Because
the children today are born into an internet-based world. And
yeah.
And being that we are that generation and we are able to remember those times when you didn't have to turn around 20 miles from the house because you forgot your damn phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And so to be 5 years ago and to think that I would be doing a podcast broadcasting out to all over the world over and something that is invisible and can't be seen.
Yes.
I mean, we're living in Star Trek days.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 5 years ago, I have to say this, 5 years ago, I was in a very abusive relationship. And, yeah, it was right at 5 years.
Was it?
Yeah. 5 years ago, like I said, I was in a very abusive relationship, and I was starting to become a heavy, heavy drinker. So 5 years ago, I thought that at this time that I would be ending up in the same situation as my mother and still being in a abusive relationship, drinking more alcohol than what I drink now. But at the time, I was in at the point to where I was saying, okay, God, what have I done to deserve all this? So yeah. I never in a million years would have guessed that I would be at the point that I am at now.
And one of the greatest things about where we are now is we have a family that is so large that expands all over the world that is now part of who we are, and I'm thankful that we're able to reach out across the entire world, and there are people all over the planet that we can reach out to, and they will help us. Why? Because we're family.
Mm-hmm.
My family has grown it's crazy to think of the number of people that this podcast has reached and gone into their homes, and it is amazing to me. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and Bill, I see you nodding your head over there, man. It's the same thing for you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Bob, I consider Bobby a brother.
Oh, yeah. He's my brother.
That's why I said nod my head. So.
I wouldn't necessarily admit to that.
I will say this live, and I mean it with all my heart. If it wasn't for Bill Robbins, I wouldn't be sitting here. I sent Bill Robbins a text one day and said, Bill, I can't figure this out. It's killing me. And 5 minutes later, Bill called me and sat on the phone with me for over an hour showing me how to do a podcast. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Bill. So Bill is very much my brother, very much a part of my family, because it is because of him that I'm able to talk to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, Bill. The gauntlet is thrown down. What are you going to respond with?
You know, it's funny. I went to ReasonCon last year. Let's plug ReasonCon real quick. Hickory,
yeah,
North Carolina.
Absolutely.
End of April. Last weekend in April. If you haven't bought tickets, you really should be there, especially if you're into podcasts, because a lot of podcasters are going to be there. But I met a guy. He came up to me and said, hey, I listened to your show. And honestly, that always still shocks me when people do that. And he said, you know, I've started this podcast of my own. I just have a headset and a laptop, but I have something to say. And I said, that's all you need, is something to say. We need more voices. We need a chorus. We need to be deafening. And that was Bobby.
Yeah.
And that's how we became friends. And we I drank through the weekend. Bobby didn't drink. But we hung out and you know, if you want to listen to some of the audio, Bobby's got it on his show. He's got a couple of episodes from ReasonCon where we're all sitting there, Cash and from Atheist on Air and the Skating Atheist crew and Tracy Harris and me and Bobby. And we're just riffing. We're having a great time.
Yeah.
But there can't be enough podcasts. And if only 10 people listen to mine because they like my style, okay. It's not a competition. Like I said, it's a chorus. So
it is.
Every new one that comes out, I cheer a little.
Yay!
Yeah, well, see, if you don't mind me breaking in 1 second, on this week's show, we have a 13-year-old girl, and her mother that is starting a podcast out of Buffalo, New York. She's 13 years old, and the critical thinking in this young lady is mind-boggling to me. Mm-hmm. At 13, I was more interested in riding my bicycle, and this girl is the most intelligent 13-year-old I think I've ever had the opportunity to sit down and talk to. And they are starting a podcast, and their podcast is Relogical Podcast. They put reason and logic together and named it Relogical Podcast. And they haven't even done the first episode yet. But it's a 13-year-old girl, guys. That excites the hell out of me.
See,
that didn't sound right.
One, you might not want to go on talking about
13-year-old. No. That excites the hell out of me.
But two.
Guys, you need to let me finish the sentence.
Wait a few years.
But the hell out of me that a 13-year-old girl is wanting to start a podcast and is already thinking that critically.
I am quote mining the shit out of that.
It just goes to show. It just goes to show. It's not that we're all getting older. It's just that they're getting too goddamn smart.
Yeah.
Joey, while I've still got you for a second over here, because you were talking about that, because you know full well. 5 years ago, would you have possibly seen us doing this thing? And on the 12-year-old front, you know what I'm going to ask you. 5 years ago.
5 years ago, probably not.
Were you calling me for bail about that point?
No, actually, 5 years ago. 5 years ago today. What is today?
It's today.
January 18th. 5 years ago today, I would have been sitting my happy ass in some remote little sandbox about the size of this apartment, somewhere just south of the Hindu Kush Mountains over in Afghanistan.
Trying not to get your ass shot up.
Mortars were more my concern. Those sons of bitches kept us up day and night. And don't go there. I know what you're going to do, and don't go there, damn it.
Not gonna. But as far as the 12-year-old front...
Yeah, I know. Don't go
there. No. That's not the piece I was... I mean...
Okay.
We had her on. You really quickly explain that.
You're talking about on this show?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Tiny Triple
put me in. Did you have her on?
No, Tiny Triple put me in my place on more than one occasion.
But some while ago, we had my daughter. She had a Monday off from school, so I figured, you know, what the hell, we'll have her on too. And you know, it's late, even for 12, and, you know, a little weirdly uncomfortable, kind of comfortable, kind of wanting to be. But the youth of the future has got a huge advantage with people like us. Don't you think, Joe?
I do. And I think their biggest advantage, despite what all the politicians and the parents are going to say, their biggest advantage is, in fact, the internet, because they have that means of being able to say, what is this? Where can I find this out? And they can just go, my God, if I had this kind of resource at my fingertips when I was a child. Look, allow me to go back to when I was 12 years old. I had a understanding of the way things worked mechanically that boggled my mother and my stepdad to the point where I somehow, without any help and without any previous training, had built a pneumatic-powered potato gun, essentially. Hold on, because it's more than what it sounds like. One, this thing was man-portable. Two, it had a quick-release trigger. Three, it had a rifled barrel. And four, it was powered pneumatically, that is, air pressure, that I provided from a foot-pumped bicycle pump, which allowed this thing not only to fire potatoes, but also snowballs. Don't go there, Shush. However, this is where my curiosity and my zeal for experimentation got me in trouble. Because it was a particularly cold year over in Ohio, where all the kids were having their little snowball fort wars and all that, and, well, one kid was bullying a lot of kids around, so I went ahead and I popped him in the face with it. Problem is, here's the thing, when you have very cold water that's loosely packed, and you suddenly apply a couple hundred pounds of pressure over one side of it, that outer layer tends to compress and form a very fine, very sharp layer of ice.
Ooh.
And
you had the MOAS, the mother of all snowball throwers.
The kid ended up with a gash on his cheek, and, well, let's just say the bully got put in his place, one, but then, you know, the police got called, and I got in trouble.
Can't imagine. Uh-oh. Can't imagine why. Chris, 5 years ago, obviously you never knew that I existed until relatively recently, but 5 years ago, would you have seen being able to do this kind of thing?
No, I mean, 5 years ago, I wasn't really even aware of sort of the atheist movement or of podcasting on there. My living situation isn't as good as it is today. And I never dreamed of that this whole community would exist. And, you know, I can see even today it's constantly growing at an amazing rate. But I would never have guessed that I had the ability to be on a show like this even 5 years ago.
Yeah. Unrenowned Tech, for us, I mean, 5 years ago in tech speak is a lifetime. I mean, shit, yeah. You and me, we both remember when Archie, Veronica, and Gopher used to be the go-to method with dial-up, for Christ's sake.
I mean, I due to my dad's background, I was a little bit more advantaged than many of the other kids in terms of the technology in the house. Not because we made money, but because company that he worked for had discounts for the employees, very good discounts for their own equipment. And so we ended up getting a little bit of a couple feet ahead. And I got to watch the technology change very quickly over very short periods of time. I saw where I noticed where it stalled out and where it picked up pace. And, my mom kind of, I remember she and I had a discussion when I was real little, and we were talking about the TV and the Atari and the IBM computer and things like that. And she pointed out to me, she said, "You think all these things now are wonderful. Wait until you're my age, and you're going to see something truly wonderful." I haven't even reached that age, and we're seeing really cool stuff already. You know, it's just, well, I'm actually kind of close to that age. But, when my son is my age, I can only imagine what he's going to see. Because there was some little girl or some young lady, I should say, who I believe she was the age 14 and in college, she figured out that if you inject gold molecules, I want to say, basically little tiny pieces of gold into a cancer or tumor, and then you apply the drug to that area, the gold actually attracts that particular treatment and makes it hang around the desired area longer, thereby keeping it from spreading all throughout the body and being less efficient. A little bit of gold I mean, really tiny, tiny, tiny amounts. 14-year-old girl thought this up.
How long ago was that tech?
About 4 years ago, maybe five.
4 years ago. This week in New Scientist magazine, they were covering a new trial treatment for some forms of cancer, which involves injecting nanoparticles that will
go
to the tumor site. And then they use sort of radio waves or electromagnetic fields to heat the nanoparticles and basically microwave or nuke the tumor.
Yep, that one I actually do know specifically about, and I can explain that one.
And look what they're doing now.
That's
with graphite, graphene and graphite. I mean, between the battery technology, you've got with all these different prototypes that are coming out of colleges like MIT and companies kids who are just working with the technology. We're going to have micro-sized batteries the size of, you know, maybe a button on a shirt that's going to last a week and charge in seconds. We have technology where your wearable clothes is generating electricity now, flexible solar panels. We have actual glass that lets the visible spectrum of light flow through it directly into the building, but on either side of that spectrum, the infrared and the ultraviolet, the stuff that the human eye can't see is redirected to the sides of the glass panes where the cells absorb them and convert them to electricity.
Hmm.
We are talking about buildings that can be powered by the spectrum that we can't see and still have the nice visible light to work with in our office buildings by daytime.
Amazing.
Not to mention all the spectrum that still permeate through clouds, even on a cloudy day, still generating more electricity. So what my son is going to end up having, I mean, look at Google, Project Aura. They're 1 year away from releasing a modular phone where if the camera goes, you slide off the module and you put the new camera module on. Oh, you broke your screen. You slide the screen off. You put the new screen on. Your battery's low. You put the phone in low battery mode, swap out the battery, put a freshly charged one on, or even a bigger one. Boom, done. And you didn't even have to turn the phone off. I mean, what he is going to have available to him is going in the next 15 to 20 years. It's going to blow my mind. And it's going to be like with my dad all over when I was a kid and my dad going, you know, I didn't have this when I was growing up. And I'm going to be looking at my son going, I didn't have this when you were growing up. But I'm also going to have the other statement that goes along with that goes, but I got to see how it came about. And it was amazing.
Absolutely. Joseph. Chris, finish off.
Say for me, very quickly on this, the things that we can achieve with technology and know-how today make virtually all the miracles and things that you see in holy books from back in the day, you know, the maybe the healing of one paralyzed person or restoring the sight to the blind. Doctors around the world are doing this every day. What we can achieve now makes most of these miracles and wonderful events in the holy books seem like cheap parlor tricks today. And we can do so much more than they could have ever imagined.
Yep. Joseph, 5 years. I mean, at this point, you would have already been there in Paris, but 5 years ago, did you think that you'd be talking to people like this now?
Oh, sure. Well, I was looking forward to it. Sorry? Oh, don't forget, we have the Minitel here. You know what that is?
Actually, no.
The Minitel?
No, please educate us.
It's one of the... Well, do a Google for it. Wikipedia has a great article, but it was... when I got here to France, it was like 1989, and they had the Minitel, which was like, do you remember the pet computers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a mini one of those, and you could communicate through the telephone, and it was just like a telephone with a computer screen, kind of like. Do you remember the BBS systems?
We have a store down here in the States called Best Buy, and anyway, back in 1998 or 1999, they carried a phone with a small screen, and if you and the other person had the same exact phone, you could do very, very low resolution video call.
I remember but that.
You both had to have the same phone. Is it like that?
No, it wasn't like that at all. It's just a black and white screen with text, with, you know, just a text. I'll send you a link in a second.
Sure.
But but France, you know, everybody loves to laugh at France, but they've actually been way ahead for communications technology since the 1970s, or even earlier, maybe.
Well, you guys have got my antenna. It's called the Tower something, right?
Yeah, everything goes through the Eiffel Tower. This is going through the Eiffel Tower.
Somebody's got to. And Heretic
Single
Woman,
point of failure, anybody?
don't. I'll touch that in a second.
Heretic give any Woman, ideas to the terrorists.
I mean, your stuff is also very, very relatively new. So, yes. I mean, 5 years ago, no clue, I'm assuming.
Oh, hell no. I mean, we just launched my second show today, and I didn't even, like 4 months ago, I wouldn't have even thought that I would be doing this. I only discovered podcasts existed about a year and a half ago. And that's because I have a BlackBerry and everybody can laugh now. But, you know, I didn't even know what this podcast stuff was. My foray into, you know, being vocal was a Yahoo group in 2006, you know, and it was a closed group. And I just thought, well, that's where I get to go to yell at crazy fundies. But this is so much more than that. And that's exciting to be able to, you know, get your voice out there and talk to different people. And you know, like I said, we only launched my second show today, and I already got a private message from somebody who said, I am so glad that you spoke out and said something and you've touched me. And you know what? There's that one person. That's it. Then I've achieved goal number one right there. That's what it's about.
Congratulations on that too.
Thank you.
I forgot to mention I've only been doing this since I'm only in not podcast world, but I guess the atheist community since 2 months now. So
yes, wow. Joseph's a newbie too.
I'm a noob.
I just joined Twitter in July. Like I actually resisted the whole Twitter thing because I initially thought it was kind of silly and whatever, and I'm kind of nonconformist that way, but I finally sort of took the plunge, and then, you know, here I am. You know, two shows of my own and co-host on two more.
You're starting starting to sound a little like Dennis Day.
I'm a little busy, yeah.
and the reference I'm making was that Dennis Day was the tenor on Jack Benny's show. Might have heard I mentioned about him earlier. Yes. And every once in a while, the joke would come up about how poor Dennis Day kept asking for a raise, and then finally he stopped. And Dennis, how come you didn't ask for a raise this year? Well, I've got three shows. I don't need it. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need some money, Mr. Denny? I mean, you've only got one. Really?
Yeah. Well, apparently I need more equipment, but you know.
Well,
Bobby knows all about that. And Joseph.
So we'll see about that. So, 5 years. 5 years.
Why 5 years? Why this number?
Because, for believe it or not, there actually is a really good reason for it. 5 years in tech terms these days is a lifetime. There are so many things that change over the course of 20 years. And, you know, a generation is typically considered that. And there are a lot of things that change on a nearly geologic level when you're talking about what's being built in, you know, in and around where you live, or the businesses, or, you know, who's doing what in government. But 5 years for personal technology now is becoming an absolute lifetime. I mean, our current best technology for personal technology is almost ready to be made obsolete shortly after it comes out. And it's positively amazing to me the level of innovation that happens, and the ability of making things stronger, faster, better, smaller, more everything in such a short amount of time. Maybe harder. Not necessarily
harder.
Maybe not necessarily more advanced in some respects, but the drive is there to keep pushing the envelope. But
remember I was saying about the modular cell phone.
Well,
that was started by Project Phone Blocks, and Google picked up to that and started Project Aura. And they've been rolling with it so hard. I mean, I encourage anybody who has any interest in that kind of concept to actually look that up on Google's page, look up the Project Aura system. And you tell me, after watching that and watching the videos and everything else, if you tell me that you're not impressed in any way, shape, or form at all with that kind of a concept, you're a lying whatever.
But here's the thing. We've talked about learning firsthand about the Bible, and one of the things that a lot of us were brought up with who were coming up through religion, the vast majority of us, was that we had the expectation that it was real, that it was true, that it, even if we hadn't read the Bible, it was good, it was right, it was what we should expect. And then we get to finding out more and more and more, to the point where today, I, as someone who is 45 years old, can do the same thing that an 8-year-old could do, which is this. Tell me about Robert Oppenheimer.
According to Wikipedia, Julius Robert Oppenheimer was an American theoretical physicist and professor of physics at the University of California at Berkeley.
Anytime, anywhere, with something that at this point doesn't have to cost $600. You could get one off the shelf that's been discarded because it's 2 years out of date. And an
what is the average airspeed velocity of an unnamed swallow?
That's a good one. African or European swallow.
Bring me to it.
But the
You're
point of it.
Banging coconuts together.
But the point of it is, when all is said and done, it's been said over and over and over again, the Bible is what it is. It's going to change a little bit here and there because somebody else is going to decide what the definition of is, or that they've suddenly come to a new understanding of
be.
Whatever the old languages was. But the best part is that you can review it, you can research it, and you can find out for yourself anytime, anywhere. No matter your age, no matter your language, with one of these, just have to have the drive to say, I wonder. And that's all that's necessary anymore. That's all that's necessary anymore. What happens when you learn about the Bible for the first time when you're older? You find out that you still got more to learn. And really, isn't that the most glorious part of the human condition? As always, everybody, thank you so much for taking the time to watch our show. We know that it's not exactly the sexiest of shows, but we still believe that our points, our perspectives, our voices are something worth getting out there and hopefully something worth listening to. As always, I'm going to start off by saying thank you to our guests for joining us this evening, and I could not be more thrilled to have you guys joining us and giving us your points. From Barroom Atheist, Bill, thank you so very much for joining us tonight.
My honor, sir. It's been an honor. Thank you.
You say that now, and yet you haven't gotten the hate mail yet. Tell everybody how to be listening to you, not necessarily stalking.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, barroomatheist.podbean.com, www.barroomatheist.com, or just type Barroom Atheist into Google. That usually works. Any podcatcher will find it.
Except the one on BlackBerry.
BlackBerry. Who uses BlackBerry anymore?
People who don't listen to podcasts.
And what, Kitchener.
Yeah.
And what visible public appearances are you guys going to be making? ReasonCon is one of them?
Well, let me give them to you chronologically. In 2015, we've got lined up. We're going to the American Atheist Convention in Memphis, Tennessee.
Cool.
Susie and I will be there. Check the bar. If you find us, please buy us a beer because, you know, we need to stretch our drinking money a little further. So we'll be there. We'll also be at ReasonCon in Hickory, North Carolina at the end, the last weekend in April. We will also be at PastaCon, Pennsylvania Atheist Humanist Conference, in Harrisburg, the 13th, the weekend of the 13th of September. And as a bonus, Friday night, the first ever live in front of an audience podcast of Barroom Atheist will take place. We're going to be on the stage, so we're really excited about that.
Very cool, and thank you. And again, please, please, please pass along my well wishes to Susie on behalf of all of us. And like I said off the air, I am just thrilled that you guys even considered truly, I don't feel bad that she couldn't be here. I'm just glad that we were even considered worth.
Oh, you know, my friend, all you guys are great, and I don't know if you know, but we have a guest bartender program. If anybody wants to do the show with us sometime, send me an email. It's bill.robbins819@gmail.com. Send me an email and we'll schedule you in, and you can come on and do the whole show with us. You know, drink on your end. I mean, if you want to drive here, I'm buying beer, but other than that, bring your own, and we'll do the whole show. Really, more voices—that's what we're about.
Absolutely. And Bobby and Ms. Ashley from No Religion Required, thank you guys so very much. I really, truly am grateful for you guys and your time, really.
Well, thank you very much for having us, man. It truly was our pleasure. Say something, Ms. Ashley. You're just
I didn't know you were done. I apologize. Thank you for having us on. It truly was an honor for me as well to be here. I greatly appreciate it very much for asking.
No, I going into this thing, I knew full well that this time slot was going to be a real tough one to get folks. So getting the people who I've been lucky enough to so far, I am very much proud that people would consider that we're worth, but also for, you know, staying up, and especially with a blood alcohol of 2.1 at this point. So thank you so very much.
Well, we have had a great time, buddy, and it truly was nice to sit here and talk with you and get a chance to communicate with the whole panel here. You know, I've sat back and watched your show, watched it on YouTube, on archive videos, and it truly was an honor to be a part of it this time. So thank you.
No worries at all. Joseph, I'm sorry. Where does everybody find you for No Religion Required?
Well, we're on this really cool new website called google.com. you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, noreligionrequired.com, and you can find us on dumbassmedia.info as well.
I think we've broken tech again.
Yeah, we broke tech.
It could be. You have one. You know full well. You know full well.
Did you really? Did you really get dumbass.info? Really?
Dumbassmedia.info.
Yep.
No, he's part of the network. He's part of the Dumbass Media Network.
Yep.
No, there's an actual.
Oh, it's a network. Oh, God.
Yeah, no, there's a.
Yo!
There's an actual network.
I know it. I'm surrounded by assholes. it's like being on an episode of Spaceballs.
So if somebody had a show and was interested in perhaps joining up with the dumbass media empire, how would one contact them?
By email.
I'm still on the show.
Just join. You send out an email to them saying you want to join their network, and the thing is they have some pretty cool podcasts on their network. C-Web Sunday School, it's wonderful to see the podcasters that have come together on that network. So it's pretty cool. Funny-ish, but cool.
Yeah, are you guys going to be doing any public shows, appearances, anytime in the near, far future?
Well, we're not doing nowhere near as many as Bar Room Atheist. but we are going to be at ReasonCon coming this evening. Guys, if you want tickets, go to ReasonNC.com, get your tickets. And we're going to be in ReasonCon with Bill and all the other great podcasters that are going.
We are going to attempt to make PastaCon, but that's also 2 weeks before our child gets married in Harrisburg. So I don't know if we can make the trip. The twip?
Twice. Yeah. Okay, she's done. PastaCon is going to be...
Have another drink with Josh.
PastaCon is going to be... PastaCon is going to be 2 weeks after my son gets married, so I'm not sure if we can make that trip to Harrisburg twice in a month, but we would like to go. Also, we're going to be making a trip to Lake Charles, Louisiana to speak at the Community Mission Chapel with Jerry DeWitt. That's going to be coming up soon as well.
Very cool.
Very cool.
So going down going for everybody else, somebody's mic is getting feedback. Yeah. I'm not quite sure who it was. But we'll see in a second. Chris, thank you very much for your time. Good morning, of course.
Good morning, Fijian.
Hello.
Yes, currently 7 a.m. in England here. Yeah, I'm one of the rare entities on this panel that don't have a podcast, but you can find me here on Facebook at Chris Sampson. I just mentioned that you found me on the show. It's not just a completely random contact.
Okay, that's interesting. We've got to... had it feeding back. I do not quite know why, but that is okay. We'll deal with it from there. Heretic Woman, thank you, hon. And you have your... you've got a slight warming trend going on. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I have two shows now. Of course, the first would be the Atheist on Air Beyond the Trailer Park. And I am happy to also say that we have signed on with Secular TV. So we're going to be joining that network as of next week. So we're pretty excited about that. And my new show we just launched today is called My Secular Savior. And it's with a friend of mine named Kai. It's a little different. It's not quite specifically about atheism, but it's about people helping people through dark times of life and talking about the tough things that a lot of people find difficult to talk about. So we want to be out there to, you know, make it easier for people to not only listen, but to talk about the hard stuff too. So we launched that today. And so we have mysecularsavior.com. You can find the new podcast there. We launched 3 episodes today, so you can listen to that. And hopefully we'll be up on iTunes and Stitcher shortly. Beyond the Trailer Park is on iTunes and Spreaker, and we broadcast live, and we'll be on Wednesdays now at 9:30 p.m.
Eastern U.S.
Yes,
Eastern. And Canada. North America.
Or as our friend the Wallflower likes to say, Kinekistan.
Shh, why not? Unrenowned Tech, thank you, of course, and a pleasure.
Always fun. And the people can find me here on this show, which can be found on YouTube and Google. Of course, if I keep it up, they may not find me on here anymore, and not like anybody else is crazy enough to actually put me on their show. Right, Heretic?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I've been banned to the chat room.
You've been banned to the chat? Well, that only happens if it's an auto ban, so I mean,
No. I meant I was limited to the chat room.
Oh.
I'm ribbing on you. Okay. I'm ribbing on you. The chat room's funny. There's a lot of shenanigans that go on in there.
I know. Oh, indeed.
Ironically, not a lot of people use the word shenanigans in the chat room. I guess they're afraid of getting pistol whipped.
Well, the auto, I don't know what you call it. There's an automated system that will ban you if it thinks you're talking gibberish.
Makes perfect sense.
That explains a lot.
Yep. Joseph, good morning, and of course, thank you for your time.
As always, and you know what? I wanted to wait till the very end to break you. Just remember, with all this Bible talk, that if the Quran is true, then the Bible is true. And because the Bible is true, the Quran is false.
No. Thank you, Satan Brudenkate.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it earlier because I knew he would completely derail, and I didn't want to do that to him in the middle of the show.
Hey. One second.
Somebody wants to say hi.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Susie.
Well, the noise down here woke me up. It was like I yelled out of my room. I said, "Who's down there making all that noise?"
We are. Hey, me. Susan.
Hey, hon. First off, thank you for even considering. Bill will tell you a little later that I'm very grateful that you even considered. But I'm sorry, honestly.
Bill's muted. She can't talk.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Bill's unmuted.
So, in all seriousness, thank you so much, and I hope that we haven't interrupted you entirely too much.
Hey, Susie, just want to say I love you.
I love you, Ash.
Looking forward to that next round of trivia crack.
Yeah, me too. I am so addicted.
It is just a little.
Very cool. All right. You have yourself a good rest, and again, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Okay. And who did I miss at this point? Joseph, did I get you ready?
Which Joseph?
No. I did get everybody, didn't I?
Yes.
Echo.
Yeah, it is getting late. So everybody else, if you'd be so kind of just mute yourself off, it'd be wonderful. Or, of course, I can mute. And, of course, Wallflower at this point is probably going, mute. So as a going out for everybody, of course, thank you so very much to all of the panel for taking the time out. It's always grandly appreciated. I cannot really see me having done this without all of you. And we need to collectively say a thank you, and I will say it on behalf of the entire panel, a very large thank you to some of our inspiration. The guys over there at Scathing Atheist, The Thinking Atheist, Pathos, yeah, I got that one right, and a very huge thank you to the guys over there at Atheist on Air, Professor Steven and Cash. You guys have done a lot for helping getting us started, for inspiring us, and we appreciate it hugely, hugely so. So keep doing what you're doing, and just remember that even if we can't financially support you necessarily, in my particular case, you have my full hope that things go well for you, as always. Thank you all so very much for being with us. Our next scheduled show is still going to be, well, on schedule for next week. And I, of course, will be looking forward to doing again. What is the topic going to be at this point? I have no idea. But please feel free to send off any information that you would like, topic suggestions and such. You can email me over at shujintribble@gmail.com. I have enough of that. Thank you very much. And we look forward to having you. We sincerely hope that what we've got to say has been helpful, has been thoughtful. And we look forward to continuing to do this for the foreseeable future. We're going to be coming up on episode 52 in due course, which would mean 1 year's worth of shows. If you have ideas for that, I don't have any particular idea for a retrospective other than just to think back on some of the things that we've done and see what we want to do for the future. We've got some ideas that may help us become something worthwhile. Or more so. And before we get out, of course, as always, I say my goodnights to all of you. I say my goodnights for my lady, too. Because 9.5 years on, I am still in love. Matane Fujin. I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. And of course, as always, to all of you, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. Until the very next time we get together, everyone, as always, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.